Our gospel reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. Using a literary technique called intercalation, Mark takes two healing stories, one about a bleeding woman and one about a dead girl, and weaves them together.
Do you notice how she said that word intercalation so well? Jesus crossed the lake again, and on the other side of a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Jairus, one of the synagogue leaders, came forward. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded with him, "My daughter's about to die. Please come and place your hands on her so that she can be healed and live." So Jesus went with him.
A swarm of people were following Jesus, crowding in on him. A woman was there who had been bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a lot under the care of many doctors and had spent everything she had without getting any better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Because she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes. She was thinking, "If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." Her bleeding stopped immediately, and she sensed in her body that her illness had been healed. At that very moment, Jesus recognized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "Don't you see the crowd pressing against you? Yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus looked around carefully to see who had done it. The woman, full of fear and trembling, came forward. Knowing what had happened to her, she fell down in front of Jesus and told him the whole truth. He responded, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, healed from your disease."
While Jesus was still speaking with her, messengers came from the synagogue's leader's house, saying to Jairus, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher any longer?" But Jesus overheard their report and said to the synagogue leader, "Don't be afraid, just keep trusting." He didn't allow anyone to follow him except Peter, James, and John, James's brother. They came to the synagogue leader's house, and he saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly, and he went in and said to them, "What's all this commotion and crying about? This child isn't dead, she's only sleeping." They laughed at him, but he threw them all out. Then taking the child's parents and his disciples with him, he went to the room where the child was. And taking her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Young woman, get up." Suddenly the young woman got up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. They were shocked. He gave them strict orders so that no one should know what had happened. Then he told them to give her something to eat. May God bless the reading and hearing of this God's holy word. We're grateful for a few minutes to break open your word this morning. We invite you into our lives. We breathe you in and feel you with us. God, help the word to get into our brains, but then move beyond that and to sink into our very being. That when we leave this place, we're renewed and ready for the journey that lies ahead. We pray in Christ's name. It is June 28th, the last Sunday in June. Are you kidding me? Where has the summer gone? Did you know that next Saturday is July 4th? And pretty soon we will be observing Labor Day together. I don't know about you, but I had a long, hard, cold winter, and I need a nice, long summer just to warm up, to be re-energized and restored. I'm feeling, maybe you're feeling too, like time is pressing down upon us. But I'm not only feeling pressed by time this morning, I'm also feeling pressed by other things, pressed by the still recent news of the racial shootings in Charleston, South Carolina, especially with the funerals that we saw this week. That's pressing down upon me. And though I celebrate the Supreme Court rulings this week, I
and feel God's hand and God's justice in those rulings. I'm feeling depressed by the lingering divisions and arguments in this country over who we're allowed to love and who is allowed to have access to health care. So that helps. I'm feeling pressed by my hairline and my I'm feeling pressed too by my spiritual life, my relationship with God, my desire to more and more be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. That presses me sometimes, maybe even often. I'm pressed by the laundry, by the vacuuming, by the yard work. I'm pressed by a thousand things in my life. And does any of that resonate with you? Does any of you today feel pressed by life? Raise your hand.
Woo!
So here's the good news. Our gospel passage this morning has some essential things to say to we who are oppressed by life. As Mark tells the story, when we get to Mark chapter 5, Jesus has been born, he's been baptized, he's been wandering in the wilderness, he's begun his public ministry, he's begun to call disciples and teach and heal and wander around in calm storms on the Sea of Galilee. He started to get into conflicts with the religious authorities, and he's generally stirring the pot wherever he goes, and stirring the pot here once he's exhausting, tiring work, and just to get away from the crowds, the crowds that are excited about him and his healing and are following, but also from the conflicts and the religious authorities and others, he starts bopping back and forth across the Sea of Galilee, in part just to escape the demands of these crowds. So you can see how Jesus is pressed himself, pressed by the crowds, pressed by the needs and the threats containing them, pressed by friends and enemies, pressed by his own call from God and his desire to live that out, pressed by the simple demands of living in first century Palestine, which was not. Jesus was pressed. And as we get to chapter 5, verse 21, we're told that Jesus crosses the Sea of Galilee yet again, arriving on the western shore, probably in a place called Capernaum, which was solidly in Jewish territory. He steps out onto the shore, and it doesn't take long for a wealthy and powerful man named Jairus, the lord of the temple in that area, who came to him and pleaded to him, "Please, my daughter is dying. Come and touch her and bring her life." There were a thousand reasons to say no. Tired, he was overwhelmed. He had already been in conflict with the religious authorities. This person was one of those. There was a thousand reasons to say no, but he doesn't say no. He says yes. And he allows himself to be pressed into life-giving service. As soon as he says yes to that, though, he doesn't have to go very far before another thing comes across the plate. Mark tells us that the crowd supravon, nice Greek word, right? Supravon, the crowds pressed in upon him. And there was a woman in that crowd who had been bleeding for 12 years. Because she was bleeding, she was ritually unclean, unable to go to temple, probably divorced, unable to make a living, marginalized on the edges of society. And as one commentator I read this week called her, she was a walking dead who was completely unlike Jairus that Jesus was already on. So she comes to Jesus. She was excited about him. She believed that he could heal her, and so she knew that she'd probably be turned away though. So she pressed in with the pressing crowd, and she found a piece of his clothing, and she touched it. And in that moment there, when she was healed, I mean, the bleeding stopped. She felt it inside her. Jesus felt it too, because you see the energy drained out of him. So he whirls around to see what had happened, and that woman is trembling. She's afraid. She felt like she had overstepped her bounds. She was ritually unclean, and she touches the rabbi. But you know, he had healed her with a touch, and now he heals her with his words. "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." The encounter was over, but Jesus was still being pressed by the dying little girl, so he presses on through the wailing and trembling crowds, through the laughing and the fawning crowd, to, at this point, the little girl was dead, and so why send the rabbi? But see, he goes into the room of the now dead little girl, and he does what he can. came to do, and he touched her. And then he said to her, no, he commanded her, get up. You know what? She got up. And she amazed the heck out of everybody that day. And Jesus, who had been so pressed, he pressed back. Get her something to eat, he said. And then believe in me. So I think it's true. I'm pressed, you're pressed. Jesus was pressed back, and all of us all the time are pressed by life. And in the pressing, that has a way of setting the patterns of our days. It has a way of molding us into a certain shape, setting the priorities for us in our lives. Have you ever had it happen where you wanted to take a class and learn something new you were excited about? Maybe it was a woodworking class or a winemaking class or a cheesemaking class or a cooking class or some other kind of class, and you're so excited about it, but then you look at your schedule and you look at your family's calendar. Pretty soon the excitement is gone. Life has pressed in and time has pressed in. Next year, to say, next year. But maybe it's not a class, maybe it's your spiritual life, your relationship with God and with your neighbors. You hear about this Bible study going on, or this retreat, or this great sermon series going on at the United Church of Underhill, and you say, that is exactly what I need in my life. But you know, work is busy and then you get cold. And you're tired on Wednesday night and Sunday mornings, and suddenly that desire to grow spiritually just gets pressed out. Maybe it's not a class or your spiritual life. Maybe you've got a conviction about something. Maybe you look around at the need for social change. Maybe you want to work for education reform in the local schools. Maybe you want to work for racial justice. Maybe you want to work for farmers' rights. Maybe there's something else you're convicted about and begin that social activism, but social change is hard and long work. And pretty soon your conviction becomes a hope, and your hope becomes a dream, and your dream becomes a wish, and your wish becomes a memory of something you used to be convicted about. This stuff happens in the flow of our lives all of the time. And when life presses in, the fruit of that is dreams deferred and education deferred and spiritual growth deferred, and the energy that we have for social change gets sapped out. And so the gospel has something essential to say to us about this morning. At least two things I want to highlight. First of all, the gospel passage that we read this morning, those two passages woven together, first thing it has to say to us is welcome to the class. Life is hard. For us, it was hard for Jesus. All of us, all the time, are pressed. And I'm so grateful that the gospel doesn't whitewash that. The gospel doesn't try to make us think that that's not the way things really are. All of us are pressed all the time, and the gospel asserts that, acknowledges what we already know, that we're pressed. The gospel goes further, though. And after acknowledging that reality of our lives, it shows us what Jesus does right in the middle of his very pressed life, demonstrating for us what it means to be Christ-like in the flow of our very difficult and very challenging lives. Do you notice how in the middle of his journey and his work, he stops and listens to a rich man and a walking dead man, and decides to bring them life and healing when it would have been so easy to say no? Did you notice how in our story, Jesus resists being pressed by the merely important and allows himself to be pressed by essential things? Essential things like meeting the real needs of real people in the real world. Essential things like bringing life to a dying girl and a walking dead woman. Essential things like demonstrating to the laughers and doubters what Jesus was, what God was trying to do for Jesus' life and ministry. Essential things like Jesus inviting us to believe and then showing us the life that comes when we do believe. All the while, Jesus does these essential things on the way to do that most essential, which is saving all of us forever in that cross and in that. So in light of the gospel this morning, in light of Jesus' actions, in light of our very pressed lives, I close this morning with this blessing. Loving God, give us time and space and eyes and hearts to be open to your gospel this morning. Help us to remember this week the pressed life of Jesus and what he did in the midst of us. Help us to reconsider our own lives, our own priorities, and what we might do in the flow of our life. Help us to reconsider our deferred dreams and deferred education, deferred spiritual lives, and our deferred convictions. Help us to be those who are inspired by the living Christ who did so much with so little. God, we pray this morning that we believe and then go out there and live like we do. In Christ's name, into the life of this whole Christ world.